Today's shiur is Masechet Baba Metzia Daf Nun Hey, and we will begin on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis on the bottom line. Amrei Rav Ashi L'Ravina. At the end of yesterday's shiur, we quoted a brisa that was learning the pasuk of B'mehem Metmeu Fada Barkecha, which the Gemara used to teach us the halacha of when there's an obligation to add a chaymish, and when there is no obligation to add a chaymish. And the Gemara said that the pasuk of Imbehem Tmeya will serve as the model when you do add a chaymish and when you don't add a chaymish. And the Gemara said that one of the characteristics that a Behem Tmeya has, it's Tchilas Hegdish, the first generation Hegdish. First generation Hegdish, I mean to say, it's the actual item that somebody was Magdish. And the Torah is teaching us that only first generation Tchilas Hegdish, there's the obligation to add a Chaymish, not anything, no other further generations of Hegdish, because Behemoth Tameya is first generation. It's Tchilas Hegdish. Ask the Gemara. Omlai Rav Ashi L'Ravina, Behemoth Tameya, B'Tchilas Hegdish Isa, Behemoth Hegdish Lesa, is Behemoth Tameya only Tchilas Hegdish? Could a Behemoth Tameya only be a first generation Hegdish? Behemoth Hegdish Lesa? Why would we say that? What would be the halacha if I was Magdish this table, and then I took this table and I was paid it, I redeemed it onto a Behemoth? So that Behemoth wouldn't be Tchilas Hegdish, that Behemoth wouldn't be first generation Hegdish. And certainly it still could be considered Hegdish. So why are we limiting in our describing a Behemoth Tameya to be Tchilas Hegdish? Answers the Gemara, what the Braisa means to say is, Avon Lelefish Enim Saif Hegdish. Saif Hegdish a Behemoth Tameya can't be. It can't be the last step. Why can't it be the last step? Very obvious. A kosher animal that's not a Balmum, we bring on the Mizbeach. So it itself is Hegdish. A Behemoth Tameya obviously cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. And since a Behemoth Tameya cannot be brought on the Mizbeach, by definition it can't be the last stop. So that's what the Gemara means. It's not Saif Hegdish. And as the Rishonim explain, and this is important in understanding the Gemara, we have this pasuk of Behemoth Tameya. So we need to know what Behemoth Tameya is teaching us. It can't be teaching us that Saif Hegdish is not open to require a chaymish when you paid it. Because at this point in the Havamina, the Gemara is learning that Saif Hegdish, you can't be paid it. Because as I just described, what does Saif Hegdish mean? That the animal itself is brought in the Mizbeach. So there's no chaymish, there's no pigeon. So what is the Torah teaching us? That Emtsa Hegdish, second generation or further, if it's not Saif Hegdish, you can be paid it, but you don't add a chaymish. As we just explained, a Behemoth Tameya doesn't necessarily have to be first generation Hegdish. It can be second generation Hegdish. Again, how? By taking Hegdish and being paided with a Behemoth Tameya. And maybe what the Torah is teaching us is Loisuf Nam Mechaymish. The Torah is teaching us that we add a Chaymish when we are paided a second generation or anything that's in the category of Emtsa Hegdish. Amalei Areka Saif Hegdish. The Torah compares Behemoth Tameya to Saif Hegdish, as I just said. Mas Saif Hegdish, by definition, ain't a Mois of Chaymish. You know why you're not Mois of Chaymish? Because you can't be Paidah. And Chaymish you only add when you're Paidah. But Saif Hegdish you're not Paidah. Saif Hegdish is the actual item that's brought on the Mizbeach. Af Emtsa Hegdish, so to a second generation, is being compared ain't a Mois of Chaymish. Ask the Gemara, yes, the Torah, as we began our shiur today, speaks about Behemoth Tameya. And the Torah is teaching us that there's a din regarding Behemoth Tameya. And it's saying, and we're comparing to Saif Hegdish, and as we just finished explaining, since by Saif Hegdish we certainly don't add a Chaymish, because you never paid the Saif Hegdish, so too will be the din by Emtsa Hegdish, you don't add a Behemoth Tameya, you don't add a Chaymish. asked the Gemara, instead of comparing Emtsa Hegdish to Soif Hegdish, why not Nidme L'Tchilas Hegdish? Why aren't we comparing Emtsa Hegdish to Tchilas Hegdish and say, just like Tchilas Hegdish, first generation Hegdish, you have to add a Chaymish, so too Emtsa Hegdish, Emtsa Chaymish, you add Emtsa Hegdish, you add a Chaymish. That's the Gemara's question. Ask the Gemara, ask the Rishonim, Tosfos and the other Rishonim, ask an obvious question. We began the shir by quoting a pasuk, "Vim behema tamei ufada barkecha." There's a reason the Torah quotes this pasuk. It's not coming to teach us the din of tchilas hagdish, because tchilas hagdish certainly you add a chaymish. It's not coming to teach us the din of soif hagdish, because as I've just said a number of times, soif hagdish is not paida. So if you're not paida, there's no chaymish. So the Torah must be teaching us something. It must be teaching us that behema tameya, when it's emtsa hegdish, don't add a chaymish. What are we going to do with that pasuk otherwise? That the Gemara wants to say that emtsa hegdish should require a chaymish. Then what would I do with this pasuk of behema tameya? Answers Tosfos. We have been assuming, and it's a difficult answer, but this is what Tosfos says. We have been assuming in this entire shir that we don't need a pasuk to teach us that Saif Hegdish, you don't add a chaymish. Because Saif Hegdish, we keep on saying, you're not paida. So if you're not paida, there's no way to add a chaymish. Says Taishwas, no. I could come up with a way that Saif Hegdish, you are paida. What is the example? He gives two examples. One example is, let's say somebody donated stones and bricks for the Beis HaMikdash. And originally there was an intent to use these stones and bricks for the Beis HaMikdash, and then they got better stones and bricks. So we have an item that's a Soif Hegdish. It can't theoretically be used, but I'm being pointed because I don't need it. Or, another example, I had stones and bricks in the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. The wall fell down, these bricks and stones fell out. And instead of reusing them, I get new, that's a Beis HaMikdash, I get new stones and bricks. Well, there the halacha would be, it's a Soif Hegdish, and I'm being paid to them. So what the Gemara is saying, says Tosfos, is that we, Taka, have the Pasuk of Behemoth Temeya. And we keep on saying until now, that it can't be coming to teach us the din of Soif Hegdish, because Soif Hegdish is obvious, that there's no pidyon, there's no chaymish. Let's not go so fast. Maybe Soif Hegdish is open for pidyon, and the Torah is teaching us that Soif Hegdish, I don't add a chaymish, but Emsa Hegdish, I do add a chaymish. The difficulty with Tosfos Pshat is that the Gemara makes such a significant turn, that till now the Gemara is assuming that Soif Hegdish, you can never be paida, and therefore you never have an opportunity to add a chaymish, and now the Gemara changes its mind so quickly and say, you know what, we can't come up with a scenario where Soif Hegdish, you have to be paid, you can be paid and maybe add a chaymish. That's the difficulty with this pshat. So again, what we're up to is a question. Why are we comparing Emtsa Hegdish to Soif Hegdish and saying that just like Soif Hegdish, there's no chaymish? Why not Nidmila Tchilas Hegdish and say just like first generation Hegdish, there's a chaymish? So too will be the din by Emtsa Hegdish. Answers the Gemara, Amalei Mistabel Soif Hegdish. It makes sense, Havalei L'dmuye, it makes more sense to compare it to Soif Hegdish, Shikei Nitfas Menitfas. What is the characteristic of Emtsa Hegdish? As I said so many times, I started with something Hegdish, and then I transferred the Kedusha from there onto another item. So Soif Hegdish, it was the end of the line of the transferring. And asked the Gemara, Adirabba, the Tchilas Hegdish Havalei L'dmuye. If anything, I could argue that Emtsa Hegdish is similar to Tchilas Hegdish. Shekein Dovah Sheish Achrov Kedusha. What does Tchilas Hegdish mean? That's the first generation Hegdish that's going to be followed. Here too, the Behemoth Temei is going to have its Kedusha transferred. So again, what makes you compare it more to Soif Hegdish versus comparing it to Tchilas Hegdish? Says the Gemara, Kir Amarova. The Torah says, Ha'oila, where the Torah says by the parasha of Orchala Ha'oila, that pasuk is teaching us which is the first carbon to be brought every day. And but the Torah uses the word ha'ayla, ayla rishayna, that the first carbon is the that was ever brought. That's what Moshe Rishayim explained. Which the first carbon Klai Yisrael brought after Matan Torah was a carbon ayla. Others say it was the first carbon that Klai Yisrael all participated. And that's why we say when the Torah says v'orach aleh ha'ayla, it means the carbon tamid shel shachar, that should be every day the first carbon offered. Hachnami, when the Torah uses the word ha'tmeya, it means tmeya rishayna. Only a first generation carbon, hegdish, there's a chaymish nowhere else. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi Reb Shu ben Levi, that only first generation hegdish, you add a chaymish nowhere else. Says the Braisa. Let's say parazu tachs parashal hegdish. Let's say I have a parashal hegdish, and I want to transfer the Kedusha from this para onto another para. So the Rishayim are immediately troubled with a question. The halacha is that if an animal is a tamim, it's not a balmum, the din is you have to bring that animal as a carbon, and you can't redeem it. So how, asked the Rishayim, can we be referring to a situation where I have a para and I want to transfer it? I'm not allowed to do that. So the simple answer is that the para that I have is a balmum that I can't bring on the mizbeach, and that's why I want to transfer it to another animal. Another answer that the Rishonim suggest, and I'll prove this answer in a moment, is that the para, indeed, if it's not a balmum, it should not be transferred. It's a pasuk in the Torah. La'yich lefenev la yomer oisai. However, b'di'evit, if one did it, it is a pigeon. And that's what happened here, that somebody did the wrong thing, and now we want to know what to do. Continue the b'raisa. Talzu tachs tal shel hegdish. Or if somebody has one talus and he wants to transfer it to another talus, the hegdish padur. So Rishonim ask, why does the b'raisa have to give two examples of the exact same concept, a parah and a talus? So they used this question to prove the previous vart that I said is correct. By a talus, everybody agrees, I'm allowed to transfer the hegdish from this talus onto another talus. By an animal, as I said, there's a concern, because I'm not allowed to transfer kedusha from an animal that's not a balmum. So the Bryce is teaching us, just like by a talus, you're allowed to do it, by a parah, even though you're not allowed to do it, if you did it, it's b'di'evit acceptable, and aloch is yad hegdish al yoyna, which means as follows. Let's say the animal, I start off with animal, and now I'm transferring another animal. So if the second animal is worth more than the first animal, it's the hegdish's benefit. Let's say the second animal is worth less than the first animal, I have to make up the difference. Hegdish always wins. Now we have another situation. Parazu b'cham shloim takas parah shel hegdish. Or talzu b'cham shloim takas shloim shel hegdish. I have a para or a talus that is hegdish, and I want to transfer it on a 5 zuz. The halacha is hegdei shepadui, that it's valid. And here we have a machlokes rishayim. What will be the halacha? I start with a para, I start with a talus that's hegdish, which I want to transfer on 5 zuz. And let's say the para, the talus that I have, is worth more than that 5 slum. Do we again say there's a din of yad hegdish al yana, and I'll have to make up the difference? That's how some rishonim learn. And other rishonim say no. Here the b'raisa doesn't say yad hegdish al yana. And since, as we'll learn later in the parak, the halacha is that hegdish, that you mechal even on a shava pruta, hegdish shava meizuz, shechilay shava pruta, it's valid. If I specify that this is the $5, it'll be a valid pidyon. Now, what's relevant to us? Al hegdish rishon ma'isav chaimish. On a first generation hegdish, you have to add a chaimish. Al hegdish sheni and ma'isav chaimish. Says the Mishnah, hoyno arba kesef. Hoyno is 4 kesef. As we learned in the Mishnah, what does it mean that hoyno is 4 kesef? That 4 kesef out of 24, which is a sixth, is where we have hoyno. Ask the Rishonim the obvious question. If the point of the Mishnah is Dreinoah is a sixth. Why does the Mishnah say it? Why does the Mishnah just say a sixth? Why does the Mishnah say 4 out of 24? So there are two simple answers. One is because the Mishnah wants to stay consistent with the terminology it used previously in the parak. The other answer is this was a typical coin that they used, and they were very familiar with this coin to figure out what Dreinoah should be. Which means as follows. We've learned so many times that the Torah says that if somebody's a moedah b'miksas, he has to make a shvua. So the Mishnah is saying that if the taina, the claim has to be that I owe you shtei kesef, and I have to be moedah that I owe you a pruta. You come and say I owe you 2 kesef, and I say I owe you a pruta, or vice versa. I say I owe you all of it minus a pruta. Which really, the Mefarshim point out, is the subject of Machloikas Rav and Shmuel. The opinion that I just cited is consistent with Shmuel's opinion. Rav's opinion is different, as we'll learn in Masechta Shavuos in Mitzvah Shem. Rav's opinion is that the claim has to be Shtei Kesef and a Pruta, and I have to admit that I owe you Shtei Kesef. Now begins the Mishnah. Chomish Pruta Sein. The Torah speaks about the Torah, the shear in 5 different places is a pruta. Haidah, as I just explained, is a shava pruta. You have to be a mite of a mixus. You have to admit that you own a pruta. Ish miskadesh b'shava pruta. First Mishnah Masech the Kedushin. Hanena b'shava pruta min a hegdish. If somebody is nana b'shava pruta from a hegdish, he has transgressed mi'ilah. Hamaitzishta pruta chayv lahachris. Hamaitzishta pruta chayv lahachris. We spoke about in Perek El Metzias. The din of Ashava Saveda. There's a chiva Ashava Saveda only if what you found is worth a pruta. Vagoizel Schaver Ashava Pruta. And if I stole from you Ashava Pruta, and you claim that I stole from you, and I swear, Nishbaloi, and I swear falsely that I don't, and then I admit, I confess, so the halacha is that I have to give a keren v'chaimish and a carbon. The focus here is what I have to give you back. I have to go back to find you all the way to Madai to give you back what I stole from you. So first, there's a number of points that we need to discuss. First, we're going to focus on the last din. And there's an obvious question. The Mishnah is teaching us that if I stole from you and then falsely denied it with a shvua, and I confess, I have to go to the other side of the world, and a lot of Mefarshim say, that I have to go personally to return it to you. But our Mishnah seems to be teaching us, consistent with what we learned in Masechet Bava Kamma, that let's say we didn't have this whole story. I stole from you, and now I want to do tshuva, and give back what I stole, then we don't have this din. Why is there a difference? Why does the nishba come in? If the fact is that I have to return what I stole, it shouldn't make a difference. So Rishonim give 2 answers. First of all, why don't Chazal make me go look for you? Because as we learned in Masechta Bava Kamma, Takonas Hashavim. We want to make it easy for you to do tshuva. If you're going to have to go search the victim to the other side of the world, I'm not going to do tshuva. So why by Nishba isn't it the same? So one answer is, because making a shvua falsely is a very serious aveira, and therefore, since it's such a serious aveira, therefore, the Torah is stricter that I have to search you out. Meiri gives a different explanation. He says like this. Let's say, not only did I steal from you, but I also swore falsely to deny it. So you're going to be miyash, that you're not going to get this back. So you're never going to come looking for me. So since you're never going to come looking for me to get back what was stolen, I have to go look for you. That's the Meiri's explanation. Here we see, that's only by a shava pruta. And there's a fundamental question that the Mefarshim discuss. What does the Mishnah mean that you only have a chiyuv by a shava pruta? Does it mean to say, because if I steal less than a pruta, I'm not considered a gazlan? Or does it mean that if I stole less than a pruta from you, you are certainly moichel me? And there are a number of nafkaminas lahalocha between these two approaches. One nafkamina is, let's say I stole from a chereshoit of a cotton. So if pshat is that I'm not able to be a gazlan, so it doesn't make a difference who I stole from. But if pshat is that you're meichel, they're not able to be meichel a chereshoit of a cotton. Or let's say the victim is screaming, I am not Noichel. So if it's shot that it's not Exela, it doesn't make a difference. But if it depends on Mechila, he's not Noichel. Or another Nafkamina is, let's say the value of what I stole, when I stole it was less than a Pruta, and now it goes up to value. If the Vart is Mechila, so as soon as I stole it, there was a Mechila. If the Vart is that I didn't steal from you a Pruta, I do have something of yours that's worth a Pruta. Or, similar nafkamina, is let's say I stole something from you that was worth a half a pruta, and then I stole another item that's worth a half a pruta. If it's mechila, so as soon as I steal a half a pruta, you're meichel. If it has to do with how much I took of you, of yours, I took a pruta. And of course, the most fundamental nafkamina is, as we know and have discussed so many times in halacha, if somebody's a gazlan, he becomes a disqualified individual to be an aid. So now, what happens if I stole from you less than a pruta? If there's automatic mechila, but I'm still a gazlan, so I become disqualified aid. If pshat, however, is that it's not considered geneva gzela, then I'm not a gazlan, and I'm still a kosher witness. Which opens up the question, what is the din? Are you allowed to steal something that's worth less than a pruta? So the Rishonim say, first, let's say where there's agreement. If it's something that nobody cares about, if I take something of yours, then nobody cares if you take it, or most people, so let's say it that way, everybody seems to agree that you're not a gazlan. If you take something that's significant, let's say I take a cup of yours, so even though it's not worth a pruta, but it's significant, everybody seems to agree that you are a gazlan. Question is, if I stole from you less than a pruta, and it's neither of these two categories, what will be the din? It's actually a machloikus rishonim. Some rishonim say the Torah says you're not allowed to steal. Others say the Torah says you're not allowed to steal something that's worth mammon. But if it's worth less than a pruta, it's not considered a gazlan. Or another pshat is, since there's no chiv of a heshiv as a gzela, if it's not worth a pruta, the is a gzela and the it travels together with the chiv hashava. And there's no chiv to return, there is no Issig Zayla. Now there's a very interesting question, very yeshivish question, that is posed. Our Mishnah is teaching us where you need a pruta. What is pshat in the Mishnah? Is pshat in the Mishnah that the Mishnah is teaching us that less than a pruta is not considered mammon? Or is pshat that the Mishnah is teaching us that when you already have as little as a pruta, it's considered mammon? And most Mepharshim seem to indicate that the Mishnah is teaching us that a pruta is already considered mammon. And that's why the Mishnah gives us the example, since you need mammon to be mekadosh and isha, it's a valid kedushin because a pruta is already considered mammon. Now, if we look in the Rishonim and Achronim, learning this Mishnah, many Rishonim and Achronim focus on different areas in halacha where the din is that a pruta is enough, and they're omitted from our Mishnah. And they all discuss why those examples are omitted. There's one approach in the Rishonim, that the list of our Mishnah is not an exhaustive list. And there are other examples that the Mishnah didn't bother mentioning. I'll give you examples. One example is, the halacha is that karka can be bought with kesef b'shtar b'chazaka. How much kesef do you need? A pruta. Another example. We're going to learn the next parak mitzvah, Ezer Neshach, which teaches us about ribis. When is there an issa ribis? Only by a pruta. That's one approach in the Rishonim. The list of our Mishnah is not a complete list. Other Rishonim say that the list in our Mishnah is a complete list. And every example they try to come up with, why is it not in the Mishnah, they have an answer. Let's use the two examples that I just gave. Ribis, they say the ribis is in the category of gzela. And that's why, since gzela is mentioned, we don't have to mention ribis. Karka, I saw two answers. One answer is that once our Mishnah teaches us that Ishim is kadeshes with a pruta, so it's the same. The halacha says, we remember from the beginning, Amsech the Kedushin, Kicha Kicha Mistayefrin, the halacha that Ishim is Kadeshes v'Kesef is learned from the Kinyan of a Karka, so that's already mentioned. Another teretz I give to this question, another teretz, is that Karka, you could strictly buy with kesef, with a pruta. You can't use shava kesef. And our Mishnah is only talking about situations where you don't have to have a pruta, you can even have a shava pruta. Why is this discussion important? It's important because the Rishonim discuss it. But it's also important because it's a very interesting shaila in halacha. The Paiskim ask, the chiyuv tzedakah comes up all the time, this question. At the chiyuv tzedakah, you could only be makayim with a pruta. Or could you give even less than a pruta and have fulfilled your obligation to give tzedakah? So if we say that the list of our Mishnah is a complete list, the fact that our Mishnah doesn't mention the din of tzedakah is clearly an indication that tzedakah you can be makayim even with less than a pruta. But if we'll say that the list of our Mishnah is not a complete list, it could well be that you have to give at least a pruta. It's not mentioned in our Mishnah. There are a lot of things missing from our Mishnah. It's interesting that the Beis Yitzchak, in discussing the Shaila, comes up with a very interesting approach. He says, if you're giving money to an ani, you can't give less than a pruta. Torah says, nasan titan. And the sina, by definition, requires a pruta. But if you're not giving him money, you're giving him a food item, and you have a food item, a fig, a date, whatever, that's a full food item, but it's not worth a pruta, then you mekayim mitzvah tzedakah, even though it's not worth a pruta. Says the Gemara, Tanina Chadazimna, the din that our Mishnah began with, haven't we learned previously in our peruk on Daf Mem Tes, where the Mishnah taught us, Hayna Abba Kesef, Masrim, V'Abba Kesef, L'Sela, which Tus L'Mekach. So why does our Mishnah have to repeat that din? Answers the Gemara, we need it because we want to teach the next thing about Maida v'mixes. Ask the Gemara Hanami Tanina. That's also a Mishnah that says Shvus Hadayonim Hatanish Tei Kesev Vaidor Shava Pruta. Answer the Gemara Seif Itzrichalei. Indeed, that thing we know, but we want to learn the din of Chamish Pruta saying. And as the Mefarshim explained this Gemara very beautifully, the point of our Mishnah really is to teach us the din of Chamish Prutas. But we have a problem. It doesn't really fit in to this peruk and to this mesechta, maybe. So we have to figure out how to bring it in. So how do they figure it? They said, we'll mention the din of a tainish tekesav, a da shavapruta. But that also doesn't really fit in. So first they bring the din of hainah, which does fit into this peruk. That's really the primary subject of this peruk, which gives us an opening to bring the din of a tainav a hayda, which gives us an opening to bring the din of Chamash Prutas, which is really the point of our Mishnah. Chamash Prutas saying. So our Mishnah at the end, as we said, that's the primary purpose of our Mishnah, is to teach us the din of Prutas. Ask the Gemara, the listening Haino Pruta, shouldn't we also have learned the din that Haino is a Pruta? Amar of Kahana, Zois Omeris, Ein Haino La Prutas. There is no din of Haino by Prutas. Machlaikis Rishayim, how to understand the Gemara's Teretz. Some Rishonim understand the Gemara's Teretz to mean that you have to have an Isser. Everybody agrees you have to have an Isser. Rashi says it. But the Shailas, well, how to understand what Rashi says? Does Rashi mean to say that the item, the transaction, has to be an Isser, which is 8 Prutas, and a sixth of 8 is more than a Pruta, so that's, I know, is more than a Pruta? Or does it mean even a bigger shear? How much does the overcharge or undercharge have to be? It has to be at least an Isser to have the halacha of Ainah. If it's just going to be a pruta alone, if it's going to be less than an Isser, it doesn't fall into the category of Ainah. The Levi Omer, Yeshanala Prutas. Levi says, Ainah is no different than any other area of halacha, and the pruta is the shear. The Kain Pana Levi Masnisan, Chamish Prutasain, Hana Pruta, Vaidar Pruta, the Kedushi Ishiva Pruta, the Gezva Pruta, the Shiva Sayarma Pruta. Ask the Gemara, Levi, and we're going to discuss each one of these cases, that's why I didn't explain them. Why didn't Levi just opened up the whole new list of items that the din is a Pruta? Ask the Gemara, the Tana Didon, my Tana like Tana Yeshiva Sayarma. Why doesn't he mention that Bezdin doesn't convene for the entire that's less than a pruta? Answers the Gemara, Tanalei Gezel. since already Gezel is mentioned, and what happens when there's a Gzela, that there's a Din Torah, so we already mentioned Pruta. Ask the Gemara, Milo Tani, Gezel Tani Aveda. Gezel and Aveda are also very similar. So if we're saying that it's subsumed under Gezel, so why do I have to mention Aveda and Gezel? Just mention Aveda and it ought to be enough. Answer the Gemara, Hana Itzruchalei. We need both Gezel and Aveda. Gezel, to teach us, that as we learned in our Mishnah, that a goy is a mechaveir a shava pruta, if somebody steals a shava pruta, a nishbalay, and then he swears falsely, denying it, that the halach is yelechena achrav afila lemadai, so that's why we have to mention this din, this new din, that the gazlan has to travel anywhere in the world to find the victim. A veda, to teach us, hamaitza aveda shava pruta chayiv lachris, that if I find an aveda that's worth a pruta, I have to announce it, and to teach us a chiddush, davagav dazol. Even though by now, when it comes to make the announcement, the aveda is no longer worth a pruta, so maybe I don't have to make the announcement. To teach us, if it was worth a pruta when I stole it, I have to make the announcement. There's interesting machloikis in the following case. What would be the din if I steal less than a pruta, something worth less than a pruta, and I swear falsely to deny it? So now I don't have to go achrav lemadai. But let's say I don't have to travel. The person I stole from is right here. Will the din be that I have to return it since you're local? Or since it's less than a pruta, I don't have to return it. I don't have to go look for you. Yeshivas Adayonim. Why did Levi have to mention Yeshivas Adayonim? Lefuki midrav ketina. Dam rav ketina. Bezdin. Niskakim afil is pakha shava pruta. That Bezdin even sits down for less than a shava pruta. Ask the Gemara of Levi, my tamalot tani hegdish. Our Mishnah mentioned that there's mila by hegdish, by shava pruta. Why doesn't Levi in his list include it? Answers the Gemara, b'chulin kamari, Levi only has a list that speaks about chulin, but kachin loy kamari. He doesn't speak about kachin. Ask the Gemara, elatana didon, who clearly speaks about kachim. He has hegdish. El tana de don, the kamari be kachim, nisni meiser, be pruta. Why doesn't he include meiser? That, as we said at the end of the previous, two shiurim ago, that you're only mechuyiv to be paida, and you only can be paida meiser, that's a shava pruta. Answers the Gemara. Commander Omar, Ein b'chaim shepruta. We learned the machlokes that when can you be paid the meiser? There was one man domer that said that if the meiser, the actual meiser produce, is worth a pruta, you could redeem it. But there was another man domer. There was a man domer that said it has to be so valuable that the chaimish of this produce is equal to pruta, which we said would mean that the actual produce must be worth 4 prutas. So then it's not something that's only a pruta. You have to have mice that's worth 4 prutas. It clearly doesn't belong here. So ask the Gemara, even if we follow that opinion, v'lishni chaymish mice v'pruta, why don't we say that when is redemption affected by meiser, when the chaymish will be worth a pruta? Answer the Gemara, because our Mishnah is referring to kind of kamairi, only to the karen b'cham shloi kamairi. Says the Gemara, Gufa, we just quoted, Om to Rav Ketina, Bezdin Iskakin Afila Pax Mishav Pruta. Bezdin will enter into the entire, even for Pax Mishav Pruta. Masiv Ravo asked the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Vesachotim in HaKadosh Yishalom. The rabbis, to teach us, Pax Mishav Pruta, Yishavim, that if somebody stole from Hegdish less than a Pruta, he has to return it. Lekaidish in, avel hedjit loy. So how he's saying the Bezdin, the Skokin, the Bezdin enters into it in Torah, for Pach Mishar Pruta, you don't even have an obligation to return it. So the Gemara liyat b'hachiyata. Omrev k'tima, im hov dugu Bezdin l'shava Pruta, if Bezdin is already in a din Torah, over Shava Pruta, goyim rim afil l'pach Mishar Pruta. Why? Explains the Gemara. T'chilas din, the din Torah to open up a case being in Pruta. The Madin, but to complete a case, Lord being in Pruta. And I saw a number of Pshatim in the Rishonim. I don't understand the Gemara. The simplest Pshat that the Rishonim say is as follows. I can't schlep you to the entire if I have a claim of less than a Pruta. But let's say I have a claim of a Pruta. And now, once I'm already in the entire with you, I have another claim that claim is worth less than a pruta. So since we're already in a din Torah, we could speak about that. Besdin will take on that case. Chalikus, who are we talking to? Are we talking about the Taveya? That the Taveya has a second case, but the second case is now equal to a pruta? Or are we speaking about the Nitva? That I claim you owe me a pruta or more, and now you claim I owe you less than a pruta. So normally, if you have a claim to me for less than a pruta, Besdin would not enter this case, but since Besdin is already adjudicating between you and me, now they're going to go the other way also. There is another pshat to this Gemara, that the din Torah began over an item that was worth a pruta. But now, by the time we're having the din Torah, it's not worth a pruta. What the Gemara is saying is, since when we started, it was worth a pruta, even though now it's no longer worth a pruta, we still, Besdin, will continue the din Torah. There's a very interesting tshuva in the Shari Lameshiv based on this Gemara. He says, we know, it's incredible how you could take the whole Torah and bring it together. We know in Sukkos, there's certain food items that you have to eat in the Sukkah. Bread, mezainis, a suda you have to eat in the Sukkah. And then there are other items. Certainly it's preferable to eat everything in the sukkah, but halachically you're not obligated. But he says a very interesting din. He says, let's say you're in the middle of a meal in the sukkah. And while you're in the middle of the meal, you're eating a food item that's a shahakal. You're taking a drink. So even if you're allowed to take a drink, chutz l'sukkah, that means, again, I'm not saying that you should try to eat everything in the sukkah. But let's say you need to take a drink. You want to take a drink, so you don't have to go into the sukkah halachically. But let's say you're in the middle of the meal and you want to take a drink, and you want to drink that drink in the house, you're not allowed to. Because it's the same concept. Once you're you don't start a din Torah for less than a pruta. But once you're in the middle of a din Torah, you do everything. Similarly, once you're in the middle of the meal that you have to eat in the sukkah, he says everything has to be in the sukkah, even something that normally doesn't require a sukkah. Interesting psak based on this Gemara. Says the Mishnah, Chomish Chumshenheim. There are five places where the Torah speaks about a Chomish. Elohim, Ha'echot Truma. If somebody eats Truma, B'shoigig, we said that he has, is a Yisrael that eats Truma B'shoigig has to pay Karen the Chomish. Truma Smeiser, as we have previously explained, Truma Smeiser is that we're supposed to give a Levi Meiserishin. And the Levi is supposed to separate from it 10%. And that 10% is Trumas Meisen, is treated like Truma. And if the Zohar eats it, he has to give Karen the Chaimish. The Trumas Meisen Shel Demai. Trumas Meisen Shel Demai is the exact same Trumas Meisen, but it's Demai. Ask the Mefarshim, we just discussed in the previous Shiur, the Rishonim asked this question, that you don't have to add a Chaimish when you pay the Demai. And here it says that you do have to add a chaymish when you redeem the mai. How do we reconcile it? So some say, the Ritva says this, that it's actually a machlaikis. What is the din? Others suggest, in the previous Gemara, we were referring to a situation where you bought the mai. And now you want to redeem that the mai. So the halacha is you only have to give the keren, not the chaymish. Here, you did something wrong. You ate the trumas meiser of the mai. Since you ate the Trumas Mais of the Mai, so you did an Aveira, here the din is you have to add a Chaymish. V'chala v'bikurim, if somebody has chala and he wants to redeem it, or bikurim, if he ate chala, you know how to redeem it. He ate chala, which you're not supposed to, goes to the Kohen, or bikurim go to the Kohen, all these cases are Mais of Chaymish, you have to add a Chaymish. I saw a very interesting opinion. It's not the opinion that we follow, but it's a Rishon, it's the Bahuchas Gedolus, the Bahag, who says that when you poida a Bechor, you have to add a Chaimish. It's just like you poida a Hegdish. And any Hegdish, we're learning when you poida your own item, you have to add a Chaimish. Fascinating. I never saw anybody do it. Hapoida not to Revai. We know fruit, that the first 3 years, you have to redeem it. It's Orla. The fourth year has the same din as Maisa Sheni, or Maisa Sheni Shaloi, or you're all Maisa Shaini. If you paid it, you have to be Maisa Chaymish. Hapaydis Hadesh, as I just said, Maisa Chaymish. Hananis Shava Prutum and Hagdish. If you were Moyal, the Loch is you have to give a Karen Vachaymish. And Asham Me'ilis, you Maisa Chaymish. Hagoyzos Chaveroi Shava Pruta, as we discussed earlier, that if you steal and you owe something worth a pruta, and you falsely deny having stolen, and make a shvua, and then you confess, you have to give a keren v'chaymish in Hashem gzeilis, you have to be ma'isa v'chaymish. Amarav, kashalei l'Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar had the following question. Trumas ma'isa shel demai. Our Mishnah says that if somebody eats the trumas ma'isa of demai, b'shoigig, he has to give keren v'chaymish. Now, demai, by definition, is the Rabbanim. So the question is, v'chi osu chachom chizik ledevrayim kishal Torah, do the Rabbanon treat their gzeiris similar to Torah? That just like if you eat real trumas maisa, you have to give a chaymish, karen v'chaymish, here too you have to give a chaymish? So all the Rishonim and all the Mefarshim ask, of course, isn't this a concept that we have so many times throughout Shas? Chum osu chizik ledevrayim kishal Torah. Why is the Gemara asking this question? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is, where is there a concept of chacham also chizik ledevrayim kishal Torah? Where chacham were concerned that if you're not going to follow their rule, you'll come to be over the raisa. So therefore they make that takana. By demai, why did Chazal make a gzair of demai? Chazal made a gzair of demai because they're afraid that a maratzim didn't give truma meiser. It's not to protect the raisa. There they don't have this rule. One teretz. Another teretz that I saw is this whole gzeira of demai is a far-fetched gzeira. Most people, amaratzim included, do properly take off trumas and maisras. So it's enough that I should have to give the truma mai. It's enough that I should have to take the mai. That I should have to add a chaymish? That's too much on a far-fetched chshash. A third teretz, or semech's teretz, beautiful teretz. He says, actually, this will be stricter than in the Trumas Maisim. Because the halacha is like this. Real Trumas Maisim is the halacha, only a kind could eat. And as I just explained in the previous year, therefore it's very inexpensive, supply and demand. There's a lot of Truma, and there are very few people that could eat it, only Kohanim. Demai, we had many times, the Mishnayis Masechta the Demai discuss it, that many people are allowed to eat Demai, not just Kohanim. Poor people, soldiers, many people are allowed to eat the mai. So the mai actually is more expensive, it's more valuable than truma. Truma smicer of the mai is more valuable than regular truma smicer. So we're going to end up with a situation that I'm going to have to spend more money on the truma smicer of the mai, which is only a gzeira, than the truma smicer itself. So the Gemara asks, that makes no sense. One more interesting point. Michs Elazar discusses the following. There are two concepts that we find, I mentioned one of them, in the Gemara many times. Chacham also chizik ledevrayim kishal Torah, and then many times we find the concept, chacham also chizik ledevrayim yoysim mishal Torah. So he says, where do we apply each the concept of kishal Torah equal, and where do we apply the concept of yoysim mishal Torah even more? So he says a beautiful pshat. He says there are certain derabbanans that are based or are modeled after the raisa. What's an example? The mai. The mai is based on truma or meiser. So there we have the rule of chacham also chizik ledevrayim kishal Torah. But there are certain derabbanans that are completely an invention, so to speak, of the derabbanan. What's a good example? Muksa. There is no makor for muksa in the Torah. If it's a pure invention of the Rabbanon, it requires even more chizik mishal Torah. So again, the Gemara is asking, why are we treating, as we explained, the mai so seriously? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Hormani, who's the Tan of our Mishnah? Remeihi. Dama also chom chizik ledevrayim kishal Torah. Where do we find this opinion of Remeihi? The Tanya, and maybe get Medina Sayyam. The first Mishnah Masechta Gittin teaches us, if you bring a get from overseas, Tetz Yisrael, you have to say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Nosnu lo, if you gave the get to the wife, the shlich gave the get. And the reason is, either because, as we learned, the not b'kabaki l'shma, or because we want to have keen for the get. Nosnu lo, he gave the get, v'loi amalo b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta, without saying b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta, yoitzi, they have to get divorced for Vlad Mamzer. Why? Because you violated the Rabbanan. Divrei Meir. The Chum Maimrim ain't a Vlad Mamzer. It's a Rabbanan. If you got remarried, you don't have, the child doesn't become a Mamzer. Kate said, Yasa, what should be done? Yitlenem imenu, v'yachzer v'yitnenu lo b'fnei shnayim, take it back and say in front of two people, v'yayim lo b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechta. So the Rishonim make a number of points. One is a machlokes rishonim. The Gemara says, "Ketzed yasa." What should you do? So the first question is, why do you have to take back the get? Why don't you just leave the get by the woman and say, "Befanei nechta, befanei nechta"? So the rishonim answer, "Befanei nechta, befanei nechta" can only be said before the get is given. So therefore, you have to do it over. Now there's a machlokes rishonim, as I was about to say. The Gemara says, "Ketzed yasa." Who is the Gemara asking this question on? It's clearly asking, according to the Chachamim, that we want to do it right. And what does doing it right mean? Take it back and say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. What about according to Rameyer? Does Rameyer allow for a do-over? Or according to Rameyer, once it was done improperly, it's too late. Machlokes Rishonim. Ask the Gemara, or the Rameyer, Mishum d'lo amala b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Just because the shliach didn't say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta, which is a din d'rabbanon, yoytzi v'avlad mamzer, says the Gemara in. Ramei is consistent with his opinion. Ramei l'tamei, domer av nuna m'shmei d'ula, arma hay Ramei, kol m'shanim et beish tovach chom v'gitten, whoever deviates from what Chazal said, yoytzi v'avlad mamzer. Why? Because Chacham also chizuk d'vrayim kishal taira. So that's Ramei's opinion. Although the Rishayim do say that even Ramei will agree that if the shliach gives a get to the woman and toich k'day diber, he realizes that he didn't say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta, and he quickly says it, everybody will agree that that's an acceptable situation.